Chapter 30. Ghosts were awesome. Through the open flaps of the canvas tent, Annabelle trembled quietly in her sleep and made little bunny whimpers while Gabe warmed his hands over the glowing embers of the dying fire in the first light of dawn, his hair looking like it had just been through a hurricane, yet somehow still looking cool. It was totally super freezing out, and normally Annabelle would have caught her death of cold, but she was already dead. Plus Gabe had heated her up so much she was just laying there like a human chimney with all this fog rising off her. I guess you could say that they had just been through a hurricane. A hurricane of doing it. If it was truly illegal to knock skeletons with dead people under these conditions, then Gabe pled guilty. But in his defense, it probably wasn't actually her corpse he'd been, you know, knocking with. It was the embodiment of her spirit when she was in her finest form. Like she had probably been an old lady that died of consumption in the middle of some cabin in New Hampshire, her son Winston galloping back with a town doctor, both tall in the saddle with perfect posture despite their race against the clock, as she wheezed her last breath in her nightgown and reached feebly for the damp cloth at the edge of the wash basin, before expiring with the last flutter of the oil lamp beside her as the wick belched forth a pathetic puff of gray smoke. And of course Gabe would have never rolled his bones around all night in a tent with someone in that condition. In this case, Annabelle would forever be at her most hottest, when all the farm boys wanted her so bad they were constantly getting in duels and falsely accusing each other of bank robbery, hoping the town sheriff would form a posse and arrest their greatest rival. And in this case, Annabelle came to him and asked for it, and she kept screaming in ecstasy the whole time that she'd never felt more alive. It's not like Gabe was hanging out in some cemetery in the middle of the night with creepy ideas. But wait, did that mean Annabelle was legally dead or legally immortal? Man, this whole ghost thing was complicated. Anyway, the important thing was that apparently you could still do it with living people after you died. That made Gabe extremely happy. Though he wouldn't have his dead soul hanging out in forests waiting for random people without rides to come along every once in a while, Gabe's soul would hang out in the hot tubs of fancy hotels, or on the tiger skin rugs in front of fireplaces in the penthouse apartments of really hot millionaire women. Or as time went on and things became more futuristic, he would hang out wherever people in the future liked to do it, like in the waiting rooms of time travel agencies, at tractor beam safety seminars, or at personality recharging stations or wherever. Pugs woke up with a giant snort, then groaned as he rubbed his forehead. Bet he wished he'd been sipping on his Johnson juice last night instead of the real stuff. He rolled over onto his belly and pushed himself up onto all fours. "Well, cackle my jackal," he grumbled. "This hyena sure ain't laughing." Then he barfed. Gabe looked over to the horizon, and something scary happened. A little blue cloud showed up in the air. Then, like 2 seconds later, there was this little boom, which was a signal that the enemy was coming. "Jiminy," shouted Bones, "we got graybacks in the gulch there, and looks like they're loaded for bear." "Great Scott," yelled Red. "New boy, grab a musket and pack the load before they make their advance." He shoved a fake gun into Gabe's arms and darted off into the thicket. Gabe looked down at his gun and knew it was fake because it had a red plastic trigger and said Walmart on the side of it. Obviously, hundreds of years ago, people weren't murdering half of their civilization with plastic guns. They were using real ones. Plastic wasn't invented until sometime in the early 80s, probably. So Red was clearly setting Gabe up and sending him off into battle with a non-gun so he would be easier to kill. Guess he was jealous of Annabelle and wanted Gabe out of the way. But wait. Ha! If Gabe was killed in battle, then he would be this ghost that could keep on doing it for eternity. He could still do it to her, or just go off and hang out in fancy hotels where the current people were. Gabe's head was spinning and he didn't know what to do. He should probably just run off and get shot as soon as possible. Then Pugs grabbed him by the nape and pulled him into formation. "Toe the mark and follow Bones," he said, then hustled all the other men into place. Bones waved his company together as his lieutenant passed out raw potatoes. "Grab yourselves a root," he said. "We're bound to get scattered before the sun sets, and you'll need sustenance to ease your aching bellies through the night." Red stepped up and said, "I propose we circle round Kennesaw Valley. Catch them knaves from behind." "Ah, you're as thick as molasses," grumbled Bones. "It's a fair piece all the way round there. We're trying to win sometime this year, not by the time your hair matches their uniforms." Gabe laughed, because the enemy uniforms were gray, and that meant he didn't want to wait until they were so old that their hair was also gray. This guy was funny. Pugs looked behind him, then pulled everyone down into a crouch. "Cripes, we're surrounded." He yanked out his powder sack and plunged some down his muzzle. Red's eyes widened as he watched the graybacks closing in from all sides. "We ain't gonna make it out of here alive," he said. "We're outnumbered." "Balderdash," said Pugs. "Look at these Sunday soldiers. They couldn't do me grandmammy's laundry, let alone hang me out to dry." He packed his muzzle fast, then flung it up to aim and said, "Right, get your plugs ready, lads. I'm opening the ball." The rest of the men packed their guns. Don't shoot till you see the whites of their faces. I thought it was the whites of their eyes, said Gabe. Pugs chuckled. The Negroes are on our side, fella. Why wait to see the eyes? Then all hell broke loose. Puffs of gunpowder from every direction mingled into a massive fog. There was all this yelling, and these boom sounds you could tell were guns going off. Here, said Bones, make yourself useful. He thrust a bag of potatoes into Gabe's arm and pulled him towards a nearby gully. Gabe hucked potatoes right and left into the fog and heard an ouch, hey, watch it, in return. Who's throwing potatoes? Someone hissed. That really smarts. They hunkered down in this nestle of trees right behind a smoke machine. Then Bones did the stupidest thing. He stood up and backed out into a clearing where he could be seen from practically everywhere. Then he dropped his gun and grabbed his stomach. Oh, what in the Sam Hill, he shouted. Dear me, I've been shot, right in the breadbasket. He collapsed to his knees, and under his hands he was smearing all this blood all over him. I need me some sawbones to patch me up, he yelled, but nary one in sight. Oh, but I'm feeling mighty poorly. Won't make it past the next valley. My dear old chum, he yelled to Gabe, though they really hadn't known each other very long. Please pass word to me wife. You got grit. Certainly a man who's as fit as a fiddle like you can make it to Amherst. And with that, Bones collapsed onto his face. Gabe heard all these footsteps crunching in the leaves coming near him, so he ran and hid under these nearby bleachers. All the people here were applauding and didn't seem afraid to die at all. What side are you on? Asked Gabe. All of them had totally different modern-day clothing on instead of uniforms. It was confusing. Shh, one of them said. They're about to do the first battle of Bull Run. Look, there's Stonewall Jackson. So you can see them too? Of course, can see the whole park from here. What are you doing down there? Excuse me, sir, said this dorky guy in a pinstripe suit. Can I see your ticket? For what? Asked Gabe. Then the guy said that Gabe must be in the wrong section. He'd need to exit through this nearby gate. But what about telling the guy's wife that he died, then consoling her with my body if she's hot? Asked Gabe. Pinstripe was confused. He mumbled something about them just being Civil War reactors, then aimed Gabe towards the gate.